about Family Voice Australia and about the good things that are happening in the country, what Jesus is doing through our governments. And then I'm going to preach, once again, a short message from Matthew chapter 8. So I don't plan to keep you beyond about 11:30. So Family Voice Australia started in 1973. It began in the home of an Anglican minister in Adelaide, a Christian ministry to see Australia under the Lordship of Christ. So it's our 40th year this year, and it's Diane's and my 7th year with Family Voice Australia. It's a faith ministry. There are 13 of us in Australia. We don't get paid for the ministry. We don't have a wage, but we have left our businesses and our ministries, our churches, or whatever thing we're involved with to become a voice of truth in the nation. We still belong to a church in Hoppers Crossing called Destiny Centre with the Apostolic Churches of Australia, and our son is the associate pastor there, church of about 200 in Hoppers Crossing. We do get to worship with them several times a year, which is nice. So this ministry began, and the Lord blessed it, and it multiplied throughout Australia, so that now we have people in each state, and we are a fast-growing ministry. Diane and I are the ones here in Victoria. Family Voice Ministry has multiplied 6 times in the last 7 years, so there is an incredible growth going on in people who would speak truth into our nation. Our own ministry here in Victoria has doubled over the last couple of years, so we have many volunteers and teams of people and committees and great influence among the leaders of this state, particularly the Christian leaders, but also among the members of Parliament. We're a prophetic ministry. We see ourselves like John the Baptist, preparing the way for Jesus Christ to reign in our country, speaking the truth. We see ourselves a bit like the scripture says in James 3:4, a small rudder steering a big ship. We do that by researching issues that are of great importance to families, like some of those you saw on the DVD. We find an answer for those family issues, surprisingly enough, in the Word of God, the Manual for Life. We then put that information in scientific and sociological and biological terms. We've got a couple of research officers. The president of Family Voice Australia was a research scientist with the military before he retired. And so we have a very strong research base, and we find truth around the world to support a particular direction that the Lord has already put in the Bible. We then present that to our members of Parliament around Australia. So we are producing more information for governments, as far as I know, than any other Christian organisation in Australia. When our members of Parliament are wanting to find a particular direction on a particular issue, there's information from Family Voice Australia there to guide them in a godly direction. In that way, we are seeing great reformation happen across the nation. Some of our successes in recent times you're probably aware of. We saw our religious freedom defended when the previous government in Victoria wanted to take away our right for us to employ Christian people in our Christian churches, welfare organisations and schools. They wanted to change the equal opportunity laws, and Rob Hulls, the then Attorney General, wanted to end religion in Victoria. There was a very strong secular push from our government to stop us being able to employ Christian people. So you may have been forced to employ, for instance, an atheist youth leader in your church if those laws had gone ahead. Right now we have again the best religious freedom of any state in Australia. We were able to see sexual penetration laws change, where now heavy penalties apply for where a child 12 or under is sexually penetrated. The maximum penalty now is 25 years, up from what used to be 10 years. We saw the chaplaincy scheme extended, the federal government provide another $200 million to extend that to another 1,000 chaplains across Australia. We defended CRE, the Christian Religious Education in Schools, when a group of people took the state government to VCAT to try and stop religious education. And we gathered stories from around Victoria to prove to the decision makers that CRE is a wonderful ministry and producing many good results in teachers and students and schools and parents. We were able to persuade the federal government to keep BC and AD in our school curriculum, as the federal government wanted to take those terms out of our schools. And now, again, from this year, when it would have changed, our kids will still be taught that all of time hinges from around the birth of Jesus Christ. Of course, the last year or two, we've been strongly defending marriage because there are people within our country who want to change the definition of marriage from union of a man and a woman to the union of two persons. So it's amazing that in this current culture, I have to spend a great deal of my time trying to convince intelligent people. I visited 15 federal members of parliament last year to try and persuade them that marriage is between a man and a woman. I was successful with some and unsuccessful with others. Of course, if our Marriage Act changes, then same-sex marriage, sexual relationships between two men will become legally the same as sexual relationships between a man and a woman. If a sexual relationship between a man and another man becomes the law in Australia, accepted by law, then everything in our country has to change. Curriculum for kindergarten, primary school, high school, university, our public service and business practices, everything will have to change to adjust to the new truth. And so we must defend with all of our prayers and with all of our might and all of our skills and all of our resources marriage between a man and a woman. Of course, we were successful last year, and even in Victoria, possibly the most left-wing state, we were able to see the majority of politicians vote to keep marriage the same. As you know, in America, it's changing rapidly. There are now 13 states in America that have legal same-sex marriage, and another 4 states about to change. That will be around a quarter of the states in America. So America has decided in many areas to go down a terrible slope of immorality, and it will be the destruction of that country. Generally, the Western civilization is failing, as you know, and other civilizations are rising. It's an incredible season to be alive and to be a Christian. So around Australia, there's several issues, of course, we're working on at the moment, very important key issues in Australia, and I won't go into those right now. Around Australia, of course, there's a great reformation taking place. In the last 3 years, through the prayers, your work, your raising up of the truth of Jesus Christ, we've seen governments change in 4 states. In 4 states, we've seen governments that have been threatening to us overturned and governments that are more sympathetic to us installed. So 4 states and 1 territory. In Western Australia, there's an election coming up very soon. I'd like you to pray over that. But in the last election, around 20 people sympathetic to us came into politics. In New South Wales, we saw during the election change that the Reverend Fred Nile, one of the most passionate Christians in Australia, took the balance of power in the upper house. In New South Wales, again, the Attorney General is a Christian man, very passionate Christian, he and his wife. The Deputy Premier over there is a Christian. In Queensland, prior to the last election, we had only 4 people in politics sympathetic to our Christian cause. Now we have around 20 people in Queensland sympathetic to us. The Emily's List politicians, whom you may know about, they're our worst enemies. Female members of parliament who belong to a group called Emily's List. There were 13 of those in Queensland prior to the election, and only 1 left now. In Victoria, in the last election, we saw our worst enemy, if you like, in Australia, Rob Hulls, replaced by the new Attorney General, Robert Clark, who works very closely with us to establish righteousness in our state. We have a Deputy Premier who's a Christian, a Planning Minister who's a Christian, and is currently being considered as a possibility for a new Premier. And so in Northern Territory, the new Chief Minister there, Terry Mills, is a Christian man. And so around Australia, there's this incredible change taking place where Christians and people who agree with our principles are coming into leadership in governments. And as you know from leadership studies, everything rises and falls on leadership. And we know that as we continue to pray and see this reformation take place, and as we also pray for a great revival across our country where hearts will be changed and people will appreciate and receive the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts, We know that as these things come together, we're going to see what we've been praying for, and that is our nation under Jesus Christ. That is already taking place in our nation. And I just thank you and encourage you that you would continue to stand strong in the Lord, to add to your number, to stand strong in truth until we see this nation under Jesus' rule. As I said, Western civilization has failed, but Australia will rise in Christ to be a light to the world. Now I'd like to preach a short message from Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to read from verse 1. I also wanted to say how great it is that you meet here in this school. And we had the privilege of setting up for church for quite a number of years ourselves as senior pastors. And it is a challenge. But here you are in this school. You bring the worship of Jesus Christ on the first day of the week into this secondary college. So this place is dedicated to God every Sunday. You talk about the Word of God. You see people changed and saved and healed. And you bring this wonderful anointing into this place as like a first fruits of what's going to happen through our community here. And these kids that are rising up will feel this presence of Jesus. They can't help but be changed by your sowing on a Sunday in this place. So I really appreciate you for that. Now Matthew chapter 8 verse 1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, and this is the section of scripture that I really want to look at today, from here down to verse 13. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that same hour. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your powerful word. We pray that just as you healed this servant, that every person in this room would be healed. I'd invite you to lift your hands, close your eyes and lift your hands for a moment. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that any person who requires your touch of healing, Father, move in their heart and in their life and in their body right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. In my Bible, this passage is described as the centurion's faith. And it is an incredible passage, sometimes difficult, but certainly pivotal to the gospel, because even Jesus is amazed at what great faith this man has. I want to bring forth today, or ask the Holy Spirit to bring forth, some challenging truths that may change the course of my life and yours. And I ask you this question: are you under Jesus Christ? And can you see? This passage describes in verse 11 the division of the people of faith and the people of religion. Jesus often talks about the emptiness of religion. Probably the most famous passage is that of the Good Samaritan, where a lawyer asks Jesus, how do you receive eternal life? And Jesus says, what is your meaning of it? And the man says, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, that's right. But the man, wanting to justify himself, said, and who is my neighbor? And of course, you know the story well, because Jesus said a man went from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he fell under thieves, and they robbed him and tore his clothes and left him half dead on the side of the road. And then a priest came along, and the priest walked past that man who was suffering. The division of religion and truth and faith. And then a Levite came along, a man versed in the law. And he walked past, he looked over there, he thought to do something, and then he kept going. But it was a Samaritan, of course, that came and ministered to the man. And here you see somebody who was not expected to be one who would help another. Someone looked down on in their society, but he was the one who walked across the road and helped the bruised man. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. So this passage also says that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, sit down with the men of faith. There'll be people that will rise in our time. Jesus says, will come, that will sit with those great faith people. But there will be others who will follow the course of religion, and they'll be cast into outer darkness. And I pray for myself and those I know, and I pray for you, that we would be the ones who would rise in our time to be those people of faith that would embrace truth and not religion. Of course, there are whole denominations now in our time that are turning away from Jesus Christ. Another point I want to make about this is the willingness of Jesus, this incredible goodness of God that is amongst us. We read that the leper came to him and Jesus said, I'm willing, I'll cleanse you. And then when the centurion sent people to him, Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. This is the Jesus that we have in our midst. This glorious Jesus, this Father from whom all good things come. He's right here with us, and that's what gives us hope, is that God wants to do us good. He's not an angry, vengeful God that wants to oppose us or check up on us or resist us. But he's a God who's given his life for us through Jesus Christ. And the very force of Jesus in this passage, the very saturation of Jesus in this passage, is one of willing to do good, of willingness to do good. All the power of the Creator is behind us and with us to do us good. And as we have faith in him, as we step out in him, as you've launched this church here, and as you have faith to build it and see this society changed, we must know that Jesus Christ himself is this force that wants you to do that. That's the hope we have. It's not just Pastor Kelvin or his wife and family or the elders of this church. Yes, they've stepped out for God. But whatever it is that you're desiring to achieve for the King of Kings, it's his willingness and power behind us that makes it work. This change that's embracing our country, this overturning of evil and this rise of good leadership, it's not coming from Family Voice Australia or the other groups that we work alongside. It's coming from the goodness of Jesus and his desire to see our country under him. And that's why we're going to win this battle. Now the soldier, a man accustomed to violence, a centurion, he deliberately chose to be under Jesus Christ. And this is one of the incredible parts of this passage. That this man who had authority over this particular area where Jesus lived, the centurion, he had absolute authority under the Emperor Caesar Augustus. Whatever he said was done. And as he says in this passage, he would say to a man, go do this, and he would do it. He would say, come, he would come, go, and he would go. Everything he said was a word that came from above. But this man deliberately says, when Jesus said, I'll come and heal him, he says, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say, go, and he goes, and come, and he comes. So this man understood the levels of authority. He understood that Jesus Christ was a servant for God the Father, that there was this powerful force through authority that was changing the land, that Jesus' power to heal came from somewhere else, came from above, came from outside of the world. It came through spiritual force. And he deliberately put himself under Jesus Christ. That's the key to this passage. The fact that he put himself under Jesus and the fact that he could see. And I ask you again, and I ask me and Diane again and my family, are we under Jesus Christ? And can we see? In the scripture in the Old Testament that's used often as we pray for our land to be healed, 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. And in the Old Testament, humble can be a whole bunch of things. It can mean to be embarrassed. It can mean to be depressed. It can mean to oppress somebody else or embarrass somebody else or humiliate someone else, you know, humble somebody. There's a whole bunch of meanings. But in this scripture, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, it means to bow the knee, literally. Bow the knee to Jesus Christ. And so this centurion, this soldier, had an understanding of what it was to bow the knee to Jesus Christ. And I wonder in our lives, have we learnt to bow the knee to Jesus Christ? Are we under the Spirit of Christ? Or are we under our fears, our embarrassment, our comforts, our ambition? Are we under our social ladder? Or are we free to be under Jesus Christ, under his rule, under his authority, under the power of his Spirit to guide us and lead us? Do we have that urgency in our hearts to be his above all else? Will we step out in faith when he asks us to, because primarily we are children of God? In the United States, at Obama's inauguration, President Obama's inauguration, when he was sworn in as president, during the invocation, which is the petition or prayer before he is set aside as president, they had taken the words "under God" out of that prayer. What should have said "one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all" became "one nation indivisible with liberty and justice for all." In his own speech, he took out the words "by their creator." A sentence that should have said, "all men are created equal, that each of us are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights." But his voice became, "all men are created equal, that each of us are endowed with certain unalienable rights." There are only small differences in the sentences, but they result in the removal of God from the rule of that nation. And so President Obama is creating a secular state so that the government can be lord of the country. Are you under Jesus Christ? And can you see? Will we be deceived by this culture that's sweeping across the world? Or will we continue to see the truth of what Jesus Christ is to our society? My first task as a Christian in a Christian church was to be Sunday school teacher. And so quite a number of years ago, Diane and I took on the job of Sunday school teaching. I wanted to be the pastor, of course, as soon as I was saved. But I was relegated to the Sunday school for 2 years. And I loved it so much I didn't want to stop. But I fell in love with those kids, and one of those kids' names was Sarah. She was the same age as my daughter, who turned 30 yesterday, my youngest daughter. She grew up in this beautiful family that belonged to our church. The family were close to us because the mum had led Diane to Christ, and I had then followed 4 years later to give my life to Jesus Christ. Sarah was the oldest girl in the family and a beautiful Christian child. I found out about her life when we went to a wedding some years later. In fact, it was just 7 years ago, and we were at a wedding of one of Diane's family, and It was a beautiful wedding in beautiful gardens with, they released butterflies, the weather was perfect, and as you know, weddings are the most, one of the most beautiful parts of being in Christianity, this symbol of Christ and the church. But we were in the reception afterwards, and I happened to be sitting next to this mum and dad, Sarah's mum and dad, this child who'd been in my Sunday school. We hadn't seen them for many years. They'd become pastors and they'd moved to another city. Sarah grew up as a beautiful child. She was in this holy family at 15 years of age, a beautiful virgin. She was skilled at music. She was in their worship team in the church. She was very good at school, very intelligent. And the dad said, as he told me this story, that she was the hub of the family. She was one of these kids that just attract everybody. Maybe like you, Sean. Not sure. I think you might be like that too. But this girl was someone like that. And so the family depended on the goodness that came out of her. And at 15, she got into a car with an older man whom she knew who was giving her a lift home. And he locked the door and he raped her. And I was sitting at this reception talking to the dad, and it was only the second time that the dad had told me that had told anyone this story. And so I was feeling very moved in my heart that he would have the confidence to talk to Diane and I about that. And so this had really disrupted their family, their beautiful Christian family, of course. And there was a court case coming up, and they all got counselling, good Christian counselling, and they seemed to be doing okay. And he told me this story that as they were getting close to the time when the court would convene and this man would face justice and his daughter would testify, his daughter Sarah must have been going through incredible torment, and he came home one day and she'd hanged herself in the kitchen. And so you can imagine how I felt and how he felt, and I could feel the pain of this father who'd not been there for his daughter. I felt this crushing of my heart as I tried to understand how he would feel as a dad having his beautiful virgin daughter destroyed by evil. And my heart was opened to the pain of people, not only in his family and his life and Sarah's destruction, but the people around Australia whom I now was called to help. You see, it's only when your heart sees that the course of your life changes. It's only when we do as Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. There's this seeing that goes on in our heart, this understanding, this awareness, these eyes of our heart that actually see things beyond the natural realm. And when our heart begins to see those things, we're absolutely changed. And 7 years ago, 6 to 7 years ago, when I started with Family Voice, I sat with this man at this reception and my heart was totally changed. Something opened in my heart that enabled me to see beyond my own circumstances. It enabled me to see the pain that families are going through throughout our country. This terrible torment that's going on in families. And this centurion, this soldier, the Bible says he came to Jesus pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. This was a great leader who had seen the pain of a friend. He was a man who looked beyond the circumstances. He looked into people's hearts. He looked beyond their facial features. He looked beyond their shape or their calling or their job or their circumstances. He saw what was in their hearts. And it's Jesus' power in us to give us that seeing ability beyond ourselves, which enables us to be people of great faith. It's not until our hearts are broken and open that we can become God's people, missionaries to change our world. And I pray that happens to you today. And it has probably happened to many of you already somewhere along the journey. But I pray that you wouldn't lose the seeing of your heart. That you wouldn't come to church to be the priest or the Levite, but you would come to church as somebody who is part of a dynamic team that Jesus Christ has raised up on the earth for us to pray, Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. to see his kingdom fall on our country, for Australia to be the great south land of the Holy Spirit that it was always destined to be. And it will happen through you and through me as our hearts see the destruction of our land and we rise to change it. You see, in Australia today, 50,000 heroin addicts are receiving treatment. 73,000 are dependent on methamphetamines. 1 million Australians have tried cocaine. We have the highest use of amphetamines and cannabis in the world. Every 4 days, a teenager commits suicide. 2/3 of sex crimes are committed against our children. Almost all children see internet pornography by age 15. Over 1/3 of little girls and many boys, some statistics say around half of the little girls in our country suffer some form of sexual abuse. In Melbourne alone, legal prostitutes provide 3.1 million services to 1.3 million males in Melbourne. There are 3,000 children in the Australian sex industry, some as young as 10. This country is in torment. And though we are successful economically, the Bible says, what does it profit a man or a country if it gains the whole world but loses its soul? America is a country that we follow. But Australia is not going to follow the direction of America. Australia is following the direction given to us in the Word of God. And people who are willing to speak the truth and stand up for truth are rising in our land like never before. We are seeing this incredible change where truth is infiltrating every government and every area of our land. I want to ask you this question again. Are you under Jesus Christ? And can you see? Have the eyes of your heart been opened? And can you see? Because many denominations today are blind. I believe that when the Christians of Australia see, or more and more of us continue to have our eyes open, when those who deliberately choose to live under Jesus Christ cry out to heaven, and when their actions reflect their passion for change, then God's power will transform our land even faster. This centurion is honored by Jesus as having great faith, as being the first Gentile Christian, precipitating the many hundreds and millions that would follow. But I pray that we would be as Jesus hoped for and believed for and praised for, that we would be people of faith, people who can see, and not people who embrace religion. I want to pray for you today and pray with you that we would be those people. Could you stand, please? I'd like us to pray a prayer. I'd like us to join together because we're part of this great body of Christ changing the earth. And I am part of you, and Diane's part of you, and you're part of us. And I'd like us to pray together as one and say some words that would rededicate me and all of us into the work of Jesus Christ. Let's say these words together. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me.
Thank you for opening my eyes.
Thank you for opening my heart.
Thank you for opening my heart.
To see the need.
In our communities.
And in our country.
Fill me with your power.
Again.
To be someone.
Who would work with you.
Alongside you,
inside you,
to change the earth.
Let me be a nation changer,
a community changer,
a street changer,
through the power
of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I would also pray for you all that you would be people who would stand with your pastor. That the program that he's heard from the Holy Spirit to install in this church would be one that you would embrace with vigor and passion. That as the leader of this particular group of the body, this one part of Jesus' wonderful life, that you would follow his leadership and lay down whatever might be required to make his work easy, his burden light. I pray that you would stand together as a group of believers, called not on your own thoughts, but on Jesus' will, to change the earth right here and around the world. So, Father, I pray over these people that they would be these ones in this place and fulfill the plan that you have for them in Jesus' name.